number 24. Sohankara iti prokto vikurvan samabhutrida vaikarikas taijasascha tamasascheti yadbida dravya shakti kriya shaktir jnana shaktir iti pravo. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, became known as the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, in three divisions, namely the powers that evolve matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Narada, you are quite competent to understand this. Purport. Purport is a little lengthy, but it's very interesting purport, so listen up, because there's very subtle points here that Prabhupada makes. Materialistic ego, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered, devoid of clear knowledge of the existence of God. And this self-centered egotism of the materialistic living entity is the cause of their being conditioned by other paraphernalia and continuing their bondage of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, this self-centered egoism is very nicely explained in the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. The self-centered impersonalist, without a clear conception of the personality of Godhead, concludes in his own way that the personality of Godhead takes a material shape from his original impersonal spiritual existence for a particular mission. And this misleading conception of the Supreme Lord by the self-centered impersonalist continues, even though he is seen to be very interested in the Vedic literature, such as the Brahma Sutras and other highly intellectual sources of knowledge. This ignorance of the personal feature of the Lord is due simply to ignorance of the mixture of the different modes. The impersonalist thus cannot conceive of the Lord's eternal spiritual form of eternal knowledge, bliss, and existence. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotees, who, even after a thorough serious study of literature like the Bhagavad Gita, remains an impersonalist simply by stubbornness. This stubbornness is due to the action of yogamaya, a personal energy of the Lord that acts like an aide-de-camp by covering the vision of the obstinate impersonalist. Such a bewildered human being is described as muda, or grossly ignorant, because he is unable to understand the transcendental form of the Lord as being unborn and unchangeable. If the Lord takes a form or material shape from his original impersonal feature, then it means that he is born and changeable from impersonal to personal. But he is not changeable, nor does he ever take new birth like a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul may take a form birth after birth due to his conditioned existence in matter, but the self-centered impersonalists, by their gross ignorance, accept the Lord as being one of them because of the self-centered egoism, even after so-called advancement of knowledge in Vedanta. The Lord, being situated in the heart of every living being, knows very well the tendency of such conditioned souls in terms of past, present, and future. But the bewildered conditioned soul hardly can know him in his eternal form. By the will of the Lord, therefore, the impersonalist, even after knowing the Brahman and Paramatma features of the Lord, remain ignorant of his eternal feature as his ever-existing Narayan, transcendental to all material creations. The cause of such gross ignorance is constant engagement in the materialistic man, of the materialistic man, in the matter of artificially increasing material demands. To realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to purify the materialistic senses by devotional service, the mode of goodness, or the Brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literature is helpful for such spiritual realization, and thus Jnana Shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely Drava Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The whole material civilization is manifested by a huge accumulation of materials, in other words, raw materials for industrial purposes. And the industrial enterprises, which are called Kriya Shakti, are all due to gross ignorance of spiritual life. In order to rectify this great anomaly of material civilization, based on the principles of Dwava Shakti and Kriya Shakti, one has to adopt the process of devotional service of the Lord by adopting of the principles of Karma Yoga mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as follows. Yat karosi, yaranasi, yat jahosi dadasi, yat yatapasi tukunteya, tat kurusha mararpanam. Krishna says, O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. Om Gyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So, very technical, but very interesting. We see how the modes more or less bring about a certain feature of consciousness. When one comes in contact. Why? Because each of the modes have a certain characteristic that is prominent. The mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, you should know that there's nothing beyond these three modes in terms of the material energy. This makes up the entire material energy. The material energy is divided in these three categories. And each of the categories are energies. And each of the energies are working in a certain way. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that sometimes the mode of goodness is prominent. Sometimes the mode of passion is prominent. Sometimes the mode of ignorance is prominent. Sometimes passion and ignorance defeats goodness. Sometimes goodness and passion defeats ignorance. Sometimes passion and goodness defeats ignorance. So there's always supremacy for the modes. They're always changing. According to one's consciousness and one's activity, one is connected with a certain particular mode. And therefore one is working according to the nature of that particular mode. Now the modes are like ropes. They bind a conditioned soul in a certain way, and they force them to act in a certain way. As Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, when he was talking to Arjuna, what forces a man to act against his will, even though he knows it's sinful? Krishna says it's lust. Due to the association of the mode of passion, one is forced to act in a certain way, although one may have knowledge that this is not good. So in the same way, one cannot get out of the modes of material nature simply by one's endeavor. One can raise themselves through various processes through the modes and come to the mode of goodness, which is recommended. Because without coming to the mode of goodness, one cannot practice what we say transcendence effectively or properly. People can practice transcendence to some degree from the mode of passion, but ultimately the mode of passion has to be given up. And one has to adopt the qualities of the mode of goodness. What is the prominent characteristic of each of the modes in terms of one's personal nature? Anything in the mode of ignorance is destructive. What are some of the characteristics of a person in the mode of ignorance? What do they do? What are some of the characteristics of the person in the mode of ignorance? Being in jail, you should know that's all there is in there. A little bit of passion once in a while. What are some of the features of the mode of ignorance? Sleep. Excessive sleep. Not that sleep is mode of ignorance, but excessive sleep. That is what is one takes sleep simply to void out one's existence, or one takes sleep because too much on the bodily conception of life. So excessive sleep. What's another form of the mode of? Huh? Laziness. Prabhupada tells a story about one minister, and he was distributing food to people in the kingdom. He was giving food to whoever wanted it. And the king said, "This is not so good, because you're just creating this laziness. People should work. So we can give food to whoever is actually really lazy." So they made a plan. So the king said, "You build a house, big house, and anyone who is truly lazy, they can come here, they can live here and get free food. Anyone that's truly lazy." So a whole bunch of people came, and the house was filled up in no time. And then the king said, "Okay," told the minister, "now you set it on fire. Put everybody in it." So they did, and everyone was running out, except two men. One man said to the other, "You know, it's getting a little warm in here." The other one said, "Don't worry, just turn over on the other side. It'll be okay." So then the king said, "These men are actually lazy. You can feed them." So when it comes to one's self-interest, one is not lazy. It's like we come to Mangal Arati when we want to, because we think, you know, it's good to go. But if I don't want to go, I don't go. That's called laziness, and that's a feature of the mode of ignorance. The spiritual master says, come to Mangal Arati. Come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Chant your rounds in the temple and then associate with devotees. But we do, we don't listen. So that's a feature of the mode of ignorance. This is doing anything we want to do based on how we feel. So, but if it becomes like something that threatens our interests, then all of a sudden we become enthusiastic, right? We're like that. When something is seen as Krishna's interest, it's not so important. But when it comes to our interest, right? Just like we're supposed to keep the temple clean. This is Krishna's temple, but it stays dirty. Why? Because it's Krishna's temple. It's not my place. If I lived in a house, I'd keep my house very clean, very nice, very orderly, keep just everything nice. But it's Krishna's. It's not mine. Therefore, I don't have to worry. I can go to another temple. I can go to anywhere I want. Now, this is somewhat mode of ignorance thinking. Because it's Krishna's, it's not mine. Just like yesterday, some guy was walking through the thing, and he was looking in all the rooms to steal something. Finally, we had to call the police and remove the man. Because, you know, eventually he had his eye on stealing things. He actually came into my room while I was there. He saw me and he left. So, you know, this is, nobody's watching the temple. People just walk in. This morning this bum came walking into the house, goes into the bathroom, he's sick, he stinks up the whole place, and he walks out, right? Nobody's doing anything. Why? Because we think it's all right. It doesn't really matter, because it's not my place. It's Krishna's place, and Krishna can take care of him. He can throw him out because he's the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he has all the power to throw out the bums. So let him do it. This is Maya, and this is a mode of ignorance, not seeing that this temple is given to us to take care of Krishna's property. Therefore, we have to be responsible, as servants of Krishna, we take care of the property of the master very carefully, like that. So mode of ignorance is laziness. I get up for Mangal Arati. I don't get up. It's all right. I go to class. Let's see, who's giving class? Chandramali Swami. I heard his classes before. They're quite boring. In fact, it's better to go to sleep. I get more benefit than going to his class, right? So, you know, half the people are in class, half the people in Mangal Arati. We have the Mangal Arati crew, we have the class crew, and we have the Japa crew, which is even less. There's like four or five people in the Japa crew. So we have our own departments. I like Japa, I like Mangal Arati, I like class. Multiple choice. And Prabhupada said, yeah, you can choose anything. You can go to Mongolia, that's all right. If you want to go, it's good. If you don't want to go, that's okay. You can sleep. Doesn't say that. Prabhupada said, you go. Sign on the board said, if you don't go, what happens? Your spiritual life is finished. He said, if you become lax in these things, there's no spiritual life. 10 Mangalarti, chant 16 rounds of japa, and attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, and engage in devotional service. These are ABCs. But we think, oh, I used to do that. I didn't get much out of it, so I won't do it. Or I have something else to do. I know time. So this is the mode of ignorance, you know. Just listening to the, what do we say, the mind that tells us it's too much effort to do these things. What's another characteristic of the mode of ignorance? Anybody know? Intoxication, right? To get intoxicated. People, why do people get intoxicated? Because they think they can find pleasure. And everyone wants pleasure, right? You can't tell anyone you can't have pleasure, right? Because pleasure is the goal of life. We even say that. You must find pleasure in life. But persons who have a poor fund of knowledge accept pleasure in the lowest form. So for a person who has higher intelligence, he sees someone getting pleasure from intoxication, he thinks, that person's suffering. He's miserable. He's killing his health. He's killing his bodily conditions. I mean, his mind, not only his body and his mind. He's wasting his time. He's wasting his money. He's destroying everything. But he's thinking, this is good. Not only that, I will go out and steal in order to get money for intoxication. It's like that man came yesterday. He was looking around the temple. Why did he want to come here to steal? So he could get something to have intoxication. So he wants something that destroys himself, and he's willing to risk his so-called freedom, that he may even go to jail just so he can get some intoxication which makes him suffer even more. The mode of ignorance. We see how the material energy works. Now, you try to convince this person, he may even say, yes, I know it's wrong, but I can't help it. I want it. I need it. I have to have it. This is my pleasure. But an intelligent person will see, no, this is not pleasure, this is pain. So this is how I'm illustrating these points to show you how powerful the modes are. When the mode captures someone's consciousness and activities, one can rationalize that this is good. So happiness in the mode of ignorance, simply intoxication, sleep, and madness, speaking all kinds of crazy things, doing all kinds of irrational and what we say crazy things, just like people sometimes, they like to drive really fast, right? Sometimes people just drive so fast, like 100 miles an hour. I like to drive fast too, I have to admit it. But you can't drive fast in America. If you go to Europe, it's really good. You know, you can go to Italy, or you can go to Germany, especially Germany. Germany is the best place for driving fast. I mean, you're driving 100 miles an hour, and you're actually, somebody's passing you up on the other lane. Looks like you're sitting still, right? Yeah, you go like 120 miles an hour, 140 miles an hour. Again, the cars are small and they're good. They're good cars and they're fast. They don't break down. They don't shake when you get to 70 miles an hour like some of the American cars do. The German cars are good cars. Italian cars also. People fly. But if you have an accident at that level, that's that speed, wow, you can't find anything. Will be nothing left. You are the car. So, you know, mode of passion, right? Mode of ignorance, somewhat. But this is how the modes affect a person's consciousness. And what is the quality of the mode of ignorance? What is it? What's that quality that is the heading of the mode of ignorance? One who does things in the mode of ignorance causes what? Destruction. It destroys themselves, it destroys others. It's never productive. Mode of ignorance is the lowest of all modes and should be completely rejected by anyone who's trying to practice spiritual life. Therefore, we follow four regulative principles, which are, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling. These are in the modes of passion and ignorance, these activities. They're destructive. What is the qualities of the mode of passion? What's the qualities of the mode of passion? What is the characteristics of a person who is attached to that mode? What does he see? What does he see as value in life? What does he engage in? Huh? Lust, anger. Anger. What is anger? Anger is a feature of what? Yeah, exactly. Anger is a feature of unsatisfied desire. When the desire becomes unsatisfied, and the stronger the desire, the more the unsatisfaction, the more anger becomes there. So the Bhagavad Gita says, anger is a younger brother of desire. When material desire is unfulfilled, there's anger, or what we say, frustration, lamentation, all these are features of unfulfilled materialistic desires. So what's another, how does a person in the material